Boker Tov, world. Today's Daf Masechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim in HaKadosh, is Daf Yud Tet, and we're holding very close to the top. Rabbi Eliezer, hi, Ba, my Avid. Remember, yesterday we learned that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, about Machlokas, they had a Machlokas, and also about a regular chatas. And Rabbi Eliezer over there, that's how we got into the regular chatas, was do you have to know exactly what chait you did? So let's say you had, it was ben hashmashas, you know, it's Yom Kippur followed by a Shabbos, let's say, right? So in such a case, you weren't sure whether the chil that you did was at the moment of ben hashmashas that it was still Shabbos, or it was the moment of ben hashmashas that it was Yom Kippur. Bottom line is, you know that you did a chait one way or the other. You had a piece of chalev, a piece of nos, so you don't know the piece you ate, which one it was. But again, bottom line is, it's a chait that's chayim for chatas. So Rabbi Eliezer said, that's enough. You don't need, it just says, a chait asher chata. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua said, no, it says asher chata. Ba, ba means you have to know precisely what it is that you did. So what does Rabbi Eliezer do with that, but it's pretty persuasive that it means it and only it. Rabbi Eliezer learns from that, prad limit asek. The chet ashechata ba means the chet that you did while you were involved in it, not that you were involved in something else, and this came your way without any intent even for that object. You were thinking that you're picking up a tomato, and that tomato was the tomato just fell off your plate onto the floor. You bent down to pick up the tomato, and you pick up another tomato that's there without even knowing it was there. That tomato was connected to the ground. You pull it up, and you pulled out a tomato from the ground on Shabbos. That's called mitasek. You had no intent for the object or the act that you did. So in that case, it's not considered to be a chait at all, that's b'chayav hakatas. Why? Because it says ba, and you were not involved in it. But it's a completely different use of the word ba. It's not a reference to the definition of which chait. It's a definition of the fact which object that would be the intended one. So that's a prat limitas sake. So that was the approach that we took initially, that there actually is a very important difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Namely, that Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer, the chait unto Mesmingersh Mekedoshav, is defined by the precise idea of what it was that was metame you. So if you're not sure whether you were nitma benevela or you nitma besheretz, in either case, you would be chayiv. Masha Inkain, according to Rebbe Eliezer, since it says sheretz specifically, so then that means you have to know specifically what you were chayiv for. That's how we got into the whole discussion of what would be the din on another chatas, which Rabbi Eliezer seems to be asserting himself, because there he says it doesn't matter. Why would you have to know precisely? And we explained that both of them are Rabbi Eliezer, and that there have been medayic different elements of the pasuk. Here it says sheretz v'ne'elan, and here it says chata, maybe chatato. So that's why we had to explain the ba this morning, precisely. Now, the question would be, do we really need to say that this is the Machlokas? Actually, Rabbi Yochanan says, what makes you think that there's any big deal between these two approaches? It could be exactly the same. Whether you're darshaning sheretz v'neida, whether you're darshaning tuma v'neida, or noida v'utamei, it's the same idea. They're just bringing a different part of the pasuk to express the exact same issue. And there's no machlokas between them. Nobody holds it. You have to know exactly. It's just a question, mashmaut dorshin. That's called a mashmaut dorshin ikabinayu. And mashmaut dorshin ikabinayu means that there's really no specific implications for the halacha. It's only what seems to be the more likely mokar in the Torah. This idea that we're about to learn is the explanation of many a strange Rambam. I'll explain to you in a moment. So what does it say? We know that Reb Sheshes also held that Mashma'ut Dorshin Ikebinayim. How do we know that? Because when Reb Sheshes taught this Mishnah over he would mix up the shitas without caring whether he said that it was Rabbi Akiva who said Sheretz V'yada, or whether it was Reb Sheshes maybe who said that it's V'nitma V'hu Yada. I mean, I thought one of the big things in the Torah is not to be machlif who said what. You have to be very careful that you shouldn't mix up Rabbi Shimon with Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, this is something that Chazal make fun of all the time. A person won't chazer properly. He'll get mixed up in who said what. And yet Reb Sheshes, he would sometimes quote without bothering to fix it was this way, that way. Sometimes he would quote Rabbi Eliezer with Rabbi Akiva Shita in terms of the pasuk without bothering. So what does that mean? It means that what we're looking for over here is not for any kind of nafkamina halacha, but rather is what is the clearest way to express in the Torah this halacha. I believe that it's because of this Gemara that the Rambam will not hesitate to bring sometimes a pasuk that the Gemara doesn't bring. The Rambam will say a halacha, and he'll make his own drasha. It's like the weirdest thing. He'll bring another pasuk, and not necessarily do we find it, they ever find a source for that pasuk that he uses as his mucker for a drasha. And everybody's like, why in the world doesn't he bring? But you see that over here, when it comes to the mashma'ut dorshin, the most important thing is like what goes over better with a simpler understanding of the nature of what the Torah was saying. So because of that, Reb Sheshes was a machbir. If Reb Sheshes was a machbir, who said what? So what do I have to be machbir on? Fine, say nechinami. It says in this sugya that I'm paskining like, it says kach v'kach in terms of the mocker. But if it's only a mashma'ut dorshin, I'm going to say over whatever is more reasonable to the shamim and makes it clearer to them. Anyway, getting back to the machlokas over here, and assuming that we're only going to be talking about the question of what both of them would agree to, namely that there is no chiyuv on a carbon oil of yared in a case where the migdash was the problem. We forgot the migdash. It's only specifically a very special halacha in Tumah, not in Migdash. Another question is, what would that mean? That if you had gone in to the Migdash because you forgot it was the Migdash, you would not be chayav an oil of yared. Therefore, boy mine rava mi Rav Nachman, how about if basically you didn't know either? You didn't know that you were Tumah, and you didn't know that this was a Beis HaMikdash at the time that you went in, even though there was the idea b'tchila of these Mikdash and Tumah. What would be the din then? So do we say that, well, the Torah was not Mechayev for a chait that was brought about through a suffix in your heart or a lack of knowledge in your heart that this was the Beis HaMikdash? It was only through a lack of knowledge in your heart that you were Tumah. So would the fact that there is the also forgetting that it's the Beis HaMikdash, does that actively make it impossible for you to be mischayev on a korban oil of yored? Omar Leis, Rav Nachman said to him, well, I mean, there was a Helem Tumah, so because of the Helem Tumah part, the Torah said you would be chayev. Said Rav, why do you say that? I mean, if Helem Migdash, it means that the Torah specifically said not to bring a korban oil of yored. If you forgot that this was the Beis HaMikdash, so then what right do you have to bring a korban oil of yored just because you also forgot Tumah? Where do we see that you're able to get a kapora from an Helem Tumah where there was also the Helem of Migdash? I don't see why that follows. Amravashi, you know, the truth is we're going to have to do a bit of psychological probing so that we can figure out what is the main issue that is causing him to have gone in. So let's say if we find out that the main point would be that he was Poresh Mituma. So what would that mean? He was Poresh Mituma. He's standing there in the Beis HaMikdash and a friend tells him, you know that you're Tumah. And he says, oh my God, and he runs out of the Beis HaMikdash. So then that would be Hari Helem Tumah B'yada. That would mean, therefore, that this is exactly the case that the Torah says that you can bring a korban veil of yared for. And let's say that somebody says to him, hey, you know this is the Beis HaMikdash, don't you? And he says, oh my God, and he runs out. So then that would mean, Hare Helam Mikdash Miyada, and he would be Potter. So basically the question is, what will result in his awareness that would cause him to be perished from the Chet? How is that meaningful? I mean, maybe if you would have told him, why is he running out? Why does he say, oh my God? I thought he didn't know either of them, right? So he's saying, oh my God, because he thinks to himself, what the heck is it? This guy's business is if I'm tummy. Why is he telling me I'm tummy? This is the Beis HaMikdash. Oh my gosh, I got to run out, right? And vice versa. If they tell him, this is the Beis HaMikdash. So yeah, you can look at them and like, why in the world ain't there? What is he, a tour guide? He's telling me this is the Beis HaMikdash. Oh my God, it must be I'm tummy, right? Then he remembers he's tummy. So basically, says Ravina to Ravashi, I mean, the bottom line is, Klum parish mi mikdash, ela mishum tuma. Klum parish mi tuma, ela mishum mikdash. I mean, either way, what he did only makes sense if he now is aware of what he wasn't aware before. So how in the world can you define it in that way that, well, let's do an experiment? Now, Loshna, basically, he's always got two reasons for why he's going to be parish. Since the Torah said that discovery of the fact that your tummy is the only way that you could be chayiv the korban al aviyarim, and not the discovery of the fact that this is the Beis HaMikdash or that this is Basar Kedesh. So therefore, in either case, you're not going to be able to be chayiv the korban al aviyarim, because the Torah did not provide that kapora for this chayiv. Now we have another fascinating question. Is the the idea of the idea of Betchila, we already explored the question of whether the theoretical idea is enough. That's called Yediat Beit Rabo, remember? So that was a question, is Yediat Rabo, according to Rebbe, Yediat Beit Rabo, it's considered to be a Yediyah. So in other words, information, according to Rebbe, is sufficient as long as you are aware of all of the information. It just doesn't register that information has meaning. But you know all the information. This is a more subtle question. Is the knowledge of all of the information, but the inability to recall elements of the information while other parts of the information is available to you? Now that's less the Yediyas Beis Rabo. You have all the information, but you don't have all the information at one time available to your consciousness because some of it's not in memory. So this is a different question that we raised today, along with some other fascinating issues. So let's take a look at this case. Tanur Rabbanan, famous case, if you have Shnei Shvilim, we have two different paths, one of which has a dead body buried in such a way across it that anybody who crossed this path, along this path, definitely became Tamei. The other one is Tahar. So he would have been Tamei the Oyel, had he walked over. Now this guy, he walked over path A. Now maybe he's tummy. We don't know whether that was the path of his tummy. He does not go into the Beis HaMikdash. Then he goes through the other one, through path B. Now at that point, obviously, he's totally vadai tummy because he went on both of these paths. He did not become tar in between, and he was nichnas l'migdash. So now the question is, seems that everybody agrees that you would be chayef for your korban al aviyarim, because what it is that you do was a vaday tuma that you forgot. Halach b'rishon. How about if you went on path A, you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, and then you went ahead and get the tzitzis hazaya of shlishi v'shana b'shvi'i, and you went to the mikveh, now you're completely tahor. Now you walk on path B, and once again, you forget, and you go into the Mikdash. What is the din over there? Because there was no time that you knew that you were Vaday Tamei. You were owed each time only a suffix. Now, the point over here is, we do know that you Vaday went into the Beis HaMikdash Betuma, either the first time after path A, or the second time after path B. But there was no time that you went into the Beis HaMikdash after a Vaday Yediyas Tuma. Each time, It was after a suffocant yes storm. It's only ex post facto that we can put together that, well, one of those times was definitely a time of Tuma, and therefore I ought to be chayev a korban olah v'yored, either because of time A or time B, and I don't know which one. So the halacha over there is that, in fact, he is chayev, because now he knows that he vadai had gone in betuma to the Beis HaMikdash. Asher inken, Rabbi Shimon says, meaning Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, because we're going to have, again, another one of these cases when Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is going to explain Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So keep in mind, this is Stam Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, no. In the first case, you're chayev maybe, but in the second case, you're potter, because since you had each time you were mitayer yourself with paraduma, with tvila, you were mitayer yourself. So there was no time that you went in with a yediat vadai. And therefore, a yediat each time of a suffix cannot ex post facto be put together and say, but ultimately, now I know that I went in when I was vadai tuma. So the yediat that you had that you forgot was of a suffix tuma. Therefore, you're potter. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, all of the above cases, even the first case, astoundingly, you would be potter on, which the Gemara is going to, of course, explain what that would be. So that means we now have three possible cases and three possible shitas about these two cases. So we have the Tanakama, who is not mechalek between the two cases, and he says, look, whether you knew ex post facto that you were definitely going in betuma, or you knew initially, there for sure, you knew initially that between the two times that you walked on the path that you were tame, it's exactly the same. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, how is it exactly the same? In the first case, you knew that you were vanai tame, when you went to the Beis HaMikdash. In the second case, each time that you went in, it was only a suffix tumah. And the third shita, which is the way Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda understands Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, is that in all cases you're potter, which is difficult to understand. All cases? The kulan? What do you mean all cases? Even the first case? I mean, why isn't the first case a classic case of you knew that you were tame? What's the difference whether you found out in stages? But at the time that you had known, you knew that you were vadai tame, and then you forgot that you were vadai tame, and then you went in. I don't get it. Why is that possibly potter? That is the classic case, according to all the shitas, of nitma v'ne'elam. Amar Rava, because the case is not sufficiently clear to you. Let me explain. The case that we're talking about over here is kigon shalach berishon. Guy walks on path A, and then subsequently he walks on path B. But the thing is that at the time that he walked on path B, he had forgotten that he had walked on path 1. So basically, the situation is he has all the requisite information that had he been aware of it all at one time, he definitely would have known that he is tame. The thing is, he didn't have all the information at one time in his mind, but he had all that information available at one time. In the first case, he didn't have all the information available. Stop taking Tsuri's boost. This is Tsuri's. Man, oh man, the loyalty of some parents. So, in such a case, that, says Rava, that's the Chiddush. What's the point? He had a miktsas yediyas tuma, but at no time was he aware of kol yediyas tuma. So the machlokas over here is that the Tanakama holds, that Tanakama meaning the Tanakama in Rabbi Shimon, the first way we understood Rabbi Shimon, is, okay, in case two over there, it's true he only had a miksas yediyah, but that's the equivalent of kol yediyah, because he knows everything there is to know. Just he hasn't put it together in his mind because his memory isn't functioning on that. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, meaning Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, says that what does Rabbi Shimon Shita? Lo amrina makes yidia gogo yidia. That's the point. Okay, wow. That's a whole new idea. Now let's look at the second case. Halach Barishon, he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he gets Hazoya, Shlishi Vishvi, goes to the Mikvah, he goes in again after going through Path B, and again he's Nichnas, so the Tanakhama holds his Chayev, and Rabbi Shimon, according to the Tanakhama, holds his Potter. Now, why is he called Chayev? Am I Chayav? Isn't this a Suffolk idea? And you're telling me it's Chayav because we know that he did the Chayt of Knisa LeMikdash, but he didn't do the Chayt of Knisa LeMikdash Behelem Tuma. What do you mean? Sure he did. No, it was a Helem of a Suffolk Tuma. It wasn't a Helem of a Vadai Tuma. What makes you think that the Helem of a Suffolk Tuma is called a Yediya, and that's enough to be Mechayav? Maybe you need to know at the time that you did it, forgot that you were Vadai Tomei, not that you were Suffolk Tomei. They put together two Suffolk Tomeis. Why would he be Chayav? What makes you say that a Suffolk is enough? Oh, my Rabbi Yochanan, because in this case, Chazal made a Suffolk Yediyah through understanding the Pasuk, as we'll see. This case of Eilu V'Yored, as we're going to see at the end of the Sugya, is unique because the Torah is Merames, that a Suffolk Yediyah has the same halacha of a Yediyah. That's my approach. Reish Lakish says, no, that's not why you're Chayav, even though it's a Suffolk Yediyah. This is going according to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael holds you don't even need a Yediyah B'tchila, remember? So we've had that Shita lurking in the background the whole time. We know that there is the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael, that the whole din of Yediyas HaTumah is simply not so. We analyze the Psukim, remember? So according to the way Rabbi read the three-way Machlokas, how to analyze the Psukim, and Rabbi Yishmael had said that there is no need for Yediyah B'tchila because he did not have, in the Mishnah, he did not have that Pasuk, the extra Pasuk, because he utilized the Pasuk, Gufa to tell me, the halacha of Yediyah B'tchila, Yediyah Tuma, but not a Yediyah B'tchila. Completely different approach. So that means that according to, apparently, there's a Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I don't have a problem in saying that according to the Tanakhama, there's actually a halacha that a Suffolk Yediyah is the equivalent of a Yediyah. Reish Lakish is pushed to, forced apparently to say, that we'll have to learn that the Mishnah is only going Aliba to Rabbi Shmuel, because I don't know any Tana that would have said such a thing that holds that a mixas yediyah, if you do need yediyah betchila, that a mixas yediyah would be considered to be a yediyah betchila. I never heard of such a thing. So apparently, there's a machlokas, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan about whether mixas yediyah is kechola yediyah or not. Problem is that we see that they both contradict themselves. Verami de Rabbi Yochanan de Rabbi Yochanan, verami de Reish Lakish de Reish Lakish. I'll show you that we've got a contradiction. Where do we see this? Because take a look at this bright. Somebody eats a Suffolk chalev, and then he found out, oh my gosh, that might have been chalev that I ate. Right? So that's a case where in the Suffolk is b'chayev you a carbon asham, because you're not sure. Maybe you did a chatas, something that would have been b'chayev you, a chatas on the chait if it was yadua. So you bring a Hashem Tov. Then he goes ahead, and after that, it happened again. And he eats another piece. Each one was a full shear. He eats another piece, and he finds out again. So Rebbe says, look, in the same way that if you found out that you did a chet that was mechayev you a chatat, and then again, you went ahead and did that chait. So just like if after you went ahead in these cases, and each one of these pieces was a full kezayas achela, you found out that it was a chela, you would have to bring a chatas on the first piece that you found out was real chela, and then on the second piece that you found out was real chela, you'd still have to bring a chatas vada. So in the same way that you need to bring a chatas for each one, you'd also have to bring a separate ashem tali before you know. So that not being sure is a separate not being sure. Each separate not being sure is b'chayev you an ashem tali. On each one of those sfeikas, not being sure that you had done the chait, when you do find out, that's b'chayev you a chatas vadai. Fine. Rabbi Shimon, Ben Yehuda, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, no, you're only going to bring one Ashem Tolui, because there's no such thing as having a Yediya of the Suffolk in the middle, being Mechayev you a separate Ashem Tolui. As many Suffolk Chato'os that you have, you bring one Ashem for. Why? B'Medayik in the Pasuk. It says, bring it al shigigato asher shagag. What do you mean shigigato asher shagag? Say al shigigato asher shagag. I mean, what does that add? Asher shagag is coming to tell me. I don't care how many times you were shagag. HaTorah ripta shigigot harbe. You could have been shagag again and again and again. But what you do is you bring one asher for al shigigato asher shagag. So we argue on the basic issue. You're never going to bring more than one Asher. So now, look at how Reish Lakish understands Rebbe, and look how Rebbe Yochanan understands Rebbe. Reish Lakish says, this is an amazing Kiddush that Rebbe is telling you. Because Rebbe is telling you, Yidiot Sefekot are Mitchalkot Lechataot. What Rebbe is saying is, you would have been Chayev on each one of these Suffet, Chaleb, Nishle, Suffolk Chaleb, Suffolk Shuman. And you would have gone ahead, had a Yediyah, oh my God, I ate that piece, I don't know whether that piece was kosher. You would have to bring the Ashem Tolui, and when you found out, you would bring an Ashem Vada. If you ate a second piece, and you found out that it was actually Chaleb, you would again bring an Ashem Vada, right? So what is Rebbe saying? He's saying that even though there wasn't a clear-cut idea between the two pieces that you ate that told you that you ate Vadai Chelev, you would still, the fact that you already had that suffix in your mind, gosh, that first piece I ate might have been Chelev, that itself would be Mechayev you a separate chatas, and it's called Yediot Michalkot, even though it's only suffix Yediot Michalkot. That's how Reish Lakish understands the point. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan said, no, that's not what Rebbe was saying. Rebbe was simply saying, look, just like a Yediyat Vadai is, in general, not in this case, Yediyat Vadai, a person went ahead, he ate without realizing a piece of Vadai Chela. He finds out that he ate a piece of Vadai Chela. And then he finds another piece, eats another piece. Each one of those is Mechayev a separate Chatas because he found out about the first Chatas originally, so there were yediot between the achilas. Otherwise, it would be eating two pieces ba'alei nechad, which if there was no yediyah ben atayim, you would only bring one korban chatas on both of them. So therefore, all that Rebbe is saying is, look, when it comes to a korban vadai, the korban vadai is the chatas kavua. When it comes to the korban vadai, a yediyah's vadai is mechalek. So too, when it comes to a korban that's brought on a suffik, which is the ashram toli, the idea suffik is mechayev you a separate ashram tali. Where do you get off saying that Rebbe meant that the idea suffik vis-a-vis this case of the ashram tali would be mechayev you a separate ashram vada? And when you found out, that's jumping to conclusions. Rebbe never said anything like that at all. He's just simply making a comparison between yediyas vadai to a korban vada and yediyas suffik to a korban suffik. It seems very logical. So basically, we seem to have over here a stira, both in Rebbe Yochanan and in Reish Lakish. Because before we said that according to Reish Lakish, if he doesn't have, I'm going to prove it to you, right? Just give me a minute and I'll show you. That before, it's pretty clear from what Reish Lakish said, that Reish Lakish holds that a suffix yediya is not considered to be yediya. And here he's explaining, no, Adarabba, even a suffix yediya is a complete yediya, and it's b'chayev a yediyah that is b'chalik l'chatos. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan said that, no, actually, a suffik yediyah is considered to be mamash yediyah. And over here he's saying, no, that's not what Rebbe is saying. Where do you come off as saying such a thing? So let's just take a look at the, basically, at the two different times that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish said what they said. Remember what Rabbi Yochanan said? Kan asa suffik yediyah kivada yediyah. Right? So we're trying to figure out why in the world would he be chayev twice? And Rabbi Yochanan said, because the Torah made it a yediyah's vadai. Fine. But note the way that he said those words. Kan asu. He didn't say b'kol haTorah asu. He said, in this specific case, if a korban oil of a yore, the din is that even though you only have a suffik yediyah, and at the time that you went in, you weren't sure that it's only afterwards you're being mitzarif the yediyahs. Rabbi Yochanan says that's enough to be mechayev you. But he made it very clear that I'm only saying this b'nogea korban oil of a yored. I never would have said it b'nogea suffik yediyah to be mechalik v'chataot. So he made it clear that we should not ask this question, and we'll have to see why in a moment. He's claiming that the pasuk here is different than the pasuk by normal chataot. Take a look at the pasuk over here. Hachahu, it never says the word the yediyah for sure. It says the ne'elam. That's where we learn out this halacha that there had to have been a yediyah that was forgotten. So v'ne'elam, why do you talk about v'ne'elam? Why don't you say openly, in both cases, that he was a yodea? Instead, we have to figure, well, if it says v'ne'elam, must be that there was yediyah b'tchila. Okay, so by not referring to that yediyah, there's a reason the Torah doesn't refer to that yediyah. It doesn't refer to that yediyah because it doesn't need to be a 100% clear yediyah. What's important is that the sveikot that he had in his mind, he forgot. That's the point of vanilla. So whatever it is that he knew was vanilla. Even what it was that he knew that was only a suffix, I might be tummy, that is enough to be mechayev a korban oil of yered on the ha'alama of the suffix. But never do we find in the case of a normal chatas, what's the lashon in the normal chatas? Ohoda. They were talking about a vanite, something that he didn't know, a yediyah ma'aliyata, that we need ma'aliyah b'yata b'inan. That means that if it comes to chalukah of karbonas, what is b'chalik? Yediyah, absolute yediyah, not a suffik yediyah. So don't ask any questions with me. I told you, this is a special halacha, and now I'm explaining to you why it's a special halacha. But our problem with Reish Lakish is more severe. Because, look, Reish Lakish says, you know, I can't figure out who would be a Mandi Amra that would say that you're chayev in all cases, even though you never had a clear yediyah. Must be, said Reish Lakish, it's going aliba to Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael, he says, you don't need any yediyah. So if you don't need any yediyah, fine. So what's the difference? You had a suffik yediyah, you had no yediyah. Why didn't Reish Lakish say the obvious solution? If this is the way that Reish Lakish is learning, understanding Rebbe, that a suffik yediyah is considered to be yediyah for a chalukah of a korban chatas, that's all he needed to say. What are you asking me? Well, he never knew for sure. He only had a suffik yediyah at the time that he went in. So what? Rebbe holds that suffik yediyah is considered to be a yediyah. We see that from his shita over here about the Ashem Toloi and the cases where the person was over without ever really knowing the chalukah of a vadai chalukah. So instead of saying it's going like Rabbi Yishmael, why didn't Reish Lakish say it's going like Rabbi? And here, Reish Lakish is the one who explains Rabbi like that. So isn't that a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction, says the Gemara. The point over here is very simple. Reish Lakish is taking advantage of this situation to point out that, of course, he could have said it's going like Rebbe. But what he wanted to let us know is Rebbe Yishmael does not need yediyah b'tchila, which is a shocker. We never saw before those words. All we saw before in Rabbi Shmuel, remember, was how it was that he analyzed the pasuk of Venelam, Venelam twice, right? Now, the way that he worked out the pasuk, it's true, he didn't have that extra pasuk to tell us that there would be a din of Halama Betchila. He needed the pasuk to tell me that there's a chiyah for Helam Tuma and Helam Migdash along with the Helam Tuma. But he doesn't require, apparently, from the way that he learned the pasuk. But Reish Lakish wanted to spell it out to us. Look, you want a little bit of cold water over your face? Stop getting all hung up about who would possibly have said such a thing. That a Yisafik Yediyah is called Yediyah. What Safik Yediyah? No Yediyah. That's Rabbi Yishmael. Says, well, I understand. I learned the Mishnah. I know I read the Mishnah. I saw in the Mishnah that Reish Lakish does not, that Rabbi Yishmael does not have a place to learn that there's a din of Yediyah Betchila. So I can figure that out myself. I don't need Reish Lakish. It's Pshita de Loboy. Of course, Rabbi Yishmael doesn't need Yediyah Betchila because where would he know it from? He doesn't have an extra pasuk. According to him, he learns that Venelam, the extra Venelam, is coming to tell me that Chachayev on Helam Migdash, not the Chachayev that you need a Halama of a Yediyah Betchila. So what Reish Lakish has to give up on a simple explanation, which makes perfectly good sense according to Reish Lakish himself, namely that it's going a Liba to Rebbe and that Rebbe holds that a Suffolk Yediyah is a Yediyah. Why did he have to tell us this? No, come on. It's still a big shocker. If you don't hear directly that Reish Lakish doesn't, I mean, you weren't shocked when you heard it? We have a whole parak that's taking all about what is considered to be Yediyah Betchila, Yediyah Besof. All of a sudden, somebody comes along and says, oh, well, actually, this whole business about needing Yediyah Betchila, don't think everybody agrees it's so important. I mean, like, what? Somebody's been pulling my leg the whole parak. So I would have thought, look, of course, he doesn't have a pasuk, but I wouldn't have concluded on the basis of the pasuk that I should throw out the whole parak. I would have said, you know what? Maudetema. Kiletle mikroi. It's true. He doesn't have any way of explaining the psukim. But I mean, certainly he must agree to the fact that there is Yediyah Betchila. I mean, that would be like saying that Avram Avinu didn't wear a yarmulke, even though it says Vayashkem Avram Baboker. I mean, he must have been wearing a yarmulke, right? Okay, so it doesn't say Subferish and a pasuk, but I mean, how do you live without knowing a Yediyah Betchila? So I would have thought maybe he doesn't have a pasuk, but certainly Migamore Yisrael, he doesn't argue on something that every baby knows. You need to wear a yarmulke. Mash Valhan, therefore Reish Lakish wants to throw it in our face. What you making such a big fuss over? You know, there is the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel that holds that you do not need Yediyah Betchila at all. Whoa. Hadron Aloch Yediyot Hatum. Ah.
Blineder.
Wow.
Funkin de Helike Perek.
Wow, what a day. And so, our next Perek, which I am unfortunately going to not introduce today, as I have to go down to a doctor appointment, but remember that we started the original, and we were shocked, like, how did we skip over, like, all of the dinim? We started with the Shvuah Shtayim Shein Arba Yediyot Atumah Shtayim Shein. I went through all the Shtayim Shein Arba. We were wondering, like, why did we forget about our original opening? Shvuah Shtayim Shein Arba. Well, we finally got back to the opening of the Masechet, and now we can finally start Masechet Shavuot, about Shavuot, instead of about Shtayim Shein Arba. And we also remember that the answer that we gave was that, look, there's a small additional sugya that came along with the Shvuah Shtayim Shein Arba, which is Yediyah Satuma. But that we want to finish first. So we finished it first, and now we're ready to sink our richy teeth right into the opening of Shvuah Shtayim Shein Arba. We know what those are. That's the Shvuah She'ochal V'Shelo'ochal, like we had earlier, we explained. One is a Shvuah La'atid. A guy makes a shvuah, I am going to eat this, and my wife will never be able to say I don't eat her cooking. Or, I am not going to eat this, I will never get my teeth into that piece of garbage. Or, We have a different Shua, which is a completely different type of Shua. It's talking about what had happened in the past. I swear that I ate it, or I swear that I didn't eat it. Somebody else must have moved the cookie jar, and Shalo achalti. Now, these are not really related on the surface. One has to do with truth or untruth, and the other has to do with commitments to the future. Nonetheless, surprisingly, we see these as Shavuos of the Shnayim What is the shear of such a Shavua? Tomorrow we'll go through a brief introduction.
Rabbi, because my minion sometimes draws a little late, tomorrow is the yahrzeit of my mother. Tzirul Bat Yerachmiel, Zichrona Lebracha. I'd like to dedicate tomorrow's shiur to the outside of my mother.
The question is whether we accept advanced dedications when they can serve as an excuse for not personally showing up. That's the question.
If you can accept advanced shvuot
all right, I'll tell you what, we'll make a compromise. Send me a written tomorrow morning record that I can see that you're really up. Although nowadays I think you can actually schedule messages, but we figure you're not technologically savvy enough, you know.
No, sure not. I'm still in the Stone Age, Rabbi. But I'm going to have to do the same thing for the day after, which is my father's yard.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
They come together.
Yes, very cooperative.
Match pair.
All right, then. So, Bezrat Hashem, you'll send us.
I'll send a message.
Okay, and we'll finish the Mishnah and we'll go over it again tomorrow with a brief introduction. So, Shvua Shalo Okal. How about the Shvua La'atid? I won't eat. And he ends up eating, but he only ate a kol shehu. He didn't eat a kizayit. Nonetheless, he's chayev his carbon olaviyorit. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amru lo Rabbi Akiva. Whoever is such a thing? The man swore he's not going to eat. Echa matzino ba'ochel. Kol shehu? That's called ochel? That's not eating at all. If he eats only a kosher, where do we ever find in the Torah that he's chayev, that this guy should be chayev if his only shvua was not to eat? If the understanding of the definition of the word eating is achila. Oma alayhem, Rabbi Akiva. And did we ever have cases where a guy just talks? He didn't do anything? And he's chayev for what it is that he talked? So obviously what that means is the talking creates a completely new situation. Why is he chayef for eating an ice cream cone? What did he do wrong? Well, he said he wouldn't. But that's not an isra achila. That's an isra of dibur. And therefore, since you understand that the isra of achila is where the Torah asks achila, and over here the isra is violating what you said. So why is violating what you said need to have a shear? And whoever heard of such a thing? So ask yourself. So clearly, he would be chayev on even a kol shehu. This is, you can see how pregnant this machlokas is with the understanding of the nature of the shvua and its relationship in general to the shiurim. Okay, Rabbosai, to be continued, Bezrat Hashem, and I look forward to more exploration of this under the kind guidance of our ever intrepid Capitan, who even allows us lately to visit one of his big mistakes, but they have become open to tourism, the old Titanic site currently available to tourists, guided by your famous, most popular tour guide, the Capitan himself. See you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, Rich. Lovely having you. Thank you.